Good morning. Thank you for welcoming me here today. It's a delight to worship with you. Hospitality is the practice of welcoming strangers, foreigners, outsiders. When we receive hospitality, for example, when we're invited to dinner at someone else's house, we come as strangers, as outsiders. It's not our own house. It's not our own supper table. But our host welcomes us, and our host makes us belong by welcoming us. Hospitality can transform us from outsiders to insiders, from someone who does not belong into someone who does belong. Think with me for a moment about experiences that you've had with this kind of transformative hospitality, of being invited and welcomed into a space that was not your own, at least not at first, of truly making yourself at home in your host's space. And although this experience is probably more rare, think of when you've experienced being so thoroughly welcomed that you come to feel not merely like a guest, but truly as if you belong, as if you are truly at home. Sometimes the experience of radically transformative hospitality is more like adoption into a family than simply being received as a guest. In my own experience, I think of being welcomed by my in-laws. When Anna's parents or grandparents welcome me into their home, I'm not just a guest, I'm one of the children, I'm one of the grandchildren, I'm a member of the family. When I look back to before we were married even, I remember the first time I joined Anna's extended family, her dad's side, at a family gathering as a time when I received and experienced a profound welcome. I was included immediately in the kitchen helping to prepare ingredients for haystacks. I connected quickly with one of Anna's aunts in a story that she was telling about her recent travel. And looking back now, I think of that first meal together as an early step in my journey toward belonging, toward becoming part of the family. It occurs to me that the fact that the meal in Jesus' parable here in Luke 14 is a wedding banquet is especially appropriate for talking about this kind of transformative hospitality, because a wedding feast isn't just an occasion to celebrate. It's a kind of sacramental experience that transforms strangers into family. It creates new extended family connections, a new kind of belonging. I've also experienced this kind of transformative hospitality in the church, in my own experience of Christian community. I've belonged at Toledo Mennonite Church for many years now. I began attending Toledo Mennonite over 13 years ago, and for a significant period of time, at least a year, I attended TMC, but I didn't yet say that I belonged there. I have a number of distinct memories from my first months at Toledo Mennonite Church, memories of receiving hospitality, of being welcomed into belonging. Within a week of my first time attending there, I was at a Maundy Thursday meal, and I remember who I sat next to at the meal. I remember who washed my feet that evening. I remember being invited over to one retired couple's house for dinner after church one Sunday, and how they extended to me the freedom to spend as much time as I wanted there that afternoon. They invited me to have free rein to explore all of their bookshelves. They told me I could nap or rest or play games and to truly make myself at home in their home for that afternoon. These and many other experiences of hospitality in the Toledo Mennonite community nurtured me into and along the way into belonging. And at some point, I stopped being a stranger and a guest. And Toledo Mennonite became my home, my family. I imagine many of you have similar stories about assembly or about other communities where you've felt that you've belonged. If in a couple of weeks all of you confirm the search committees and leadership groups call for me to come join this community and serve with you as pastor of congregational life and hospitality, I imagine I will eventually come to look back on this weekend as an intense beginning to my family's experience of transformative hospitality at Assembly, as the start of a journey from being a stranger to being an honored guest, to becoming part of the family. A journey from being an outsider to becoming an insider. And this is the kind of hospitality I hope that we at Assembly Mennonite Church would then work together to extend to those in our midst, to those on our margins, and even beyond the borders of the community, that we can welcome people into a journey of moving from stranger to guest to family member. Friends, I want to invite you to reflect together with me this morning on what it means for us to participate in God's generous hospitality. We're all children of God. We're God's family. We belong at God's table. But our belonging here is not because there's something special or different about who we are. Rather, it's because of something special about who God is and how God operates in God's love for all people. We're here because we're invited. We're recipients of God's generous hospitality. This community, this fellowship, this table is God's table first, before it's ours. And God loves to welcome strangers and foreigners into belonging. God's hospitality is the kind that transforms the stranger into the guest and into the family member. In our text from Luke 14, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of God. That is, about how things work when they happen God's way. And I want you to notice that this is not a parable that invites us to worry about whether or not we will get an invitation to the wedding banquet. It assumes that we, hearing Jesus' parable, belong in God's presence and at God's table. The question this parable challenges us to think about is not, do we belong, but rather, where should we sit? This parable encourages us to consider others above ourselves, to think beyond our concern with our own belonging, to stop and think about how we recognize the presence of others who also belong at God's table. So in Jesus' parable, the guest who shows up and takes the best seat for themselves ends up embarrassed because it turns out that seat of honor had been reserved for someone else, someone who the guest who is embarrassed had failed to even consider as important, but the host regards as having very high importance, as in having high regard. Here in the community of the people of God, it matters where I sit, because when I consider myself to have the highest status, I run the risk of displacing someone else who deserves the seat of honor more than I do. Now, maybe if I lived in a world where every person, in fact, had equal power and status, it wouldn't matter where I sat. Because I could tell myself then, well, I'm a child of God, I belong here. So I can feel free to sit wherever I'm the most comfortable, because where I sit won't disenfranchise anyone. I can sit wherever I want to sit, they can sit wherever they want to sit, no problem. And we might be tempted, when we look at this parable in Luke, to emphasize how the ancient culture of Luke's original audience and Jesus' original audience was different from ours, in that it was very explicitly a hierarchical society that ranked persons by their honor and status. And by contrast, we might think, in our modern North American society, at least superficially, we're a bit more egalitarian. And moreover, in our own enlightened theology here, we know that everyone is equal in God's kingdom, right? So what does all of this talk of first place and last place even mean to us? What does it matter? That was then, this is now. These are words for an ancient culture. What do they have to say to us? But let's be real here. Despite differences between ancient culture of Luke and Jesus and ours, in our own society, there are real differences of power and status. In business, in our educational institutions, at the board tables of our nonprofit organizations, even in our churches, some of us have more power, more access, more influence than other people do. Speaking for myself, I live in a world where I have significant power and privilege, at least in some settings, including in the church the way I've experienced it, because I'm an insider. I'm a white cisgender man. I have the right education, the right connections, the right accent, the right family culture, right as in what grants me easy access to having influence. it's easy often for me to speak up. It's easy for me to assert myself and advocate for my own agenda. I expect to be listened to. It's easy for me to make myself comfortable. In my experience in the church, I'm often recognized for my presence and for my contributions. I'm often invited to participate, even to lead. But the God of Jesus operates on the principle that the first will be last and the last will be first. In this text, Jesus encourages the host, the person throwing a dinner party, to invite the marginalized and the powerless, represented by those who are poor, who have physical infirmities, who are blind. So, who do you think that seat of honor at the banquet table is reserved for? Probably not for me. Now, I don't know Assembly very well at this point. I've just had a very short time in the last 3 months to start getting to know this community, and I can't speak with any firsthand knowledge of the realities of community life here, to your strengths, to the challenges you face, to your struggles, to your family dynamics. I certainly hope to get to know this congregation a lot better. But based on my experience elsewhere, it seems to me that in any community, in any church, there are some people who find themselves closer to the center of power, who have more influence, who may be more visible, who may be more highly respected, whose opinions carry more weight when it comes to the community making decisions. There are some people, that is, who are insiders, and there are others who exist closer to the margins of the community. I've also observed in the wider church that some newcomers, some guests, are more quickly and rapidly received than others. And disclaimer, I've been one who has experienced being quickly and rapidly received and being invited to a fast-track path to insider status in the church. I've heard voices in other Christian communities that sometimes say, "We will welcome anyone here as long as they don't come to change us." I've seen how it can be much easier for some people to be welcomed as insiders, to have their ideas taken seriously, to have their gifts appreciated without any qualification, because in many ways, they're already insiders when they show up. They're insiders because of their family culture and their connections, if not because of their last name and their family tree, or because of their experience and their shared assumptions about how things are or how things should be. We who are insiders, we like to maintain control in our community space. Nobody likes change. We all like things to be our way. Perhaps more than anything, we like to be comfortable in our own home, in the place that we call home. We want our music and our food, we want our decision-making processes, our vocabulary, our theology, to make us feel comfortable. Because these cultural marks of our community help us feel ownership. They help us feel like we belong. They help us feel like we're at home in our own space. But friends, I've come to learn that I can't truly welcome strangers and outsiders and foreigners to the table while maintaining my own control and being super resistant to change. If I want to be caught up in and participate in the movement of God as God welcomes outsiders and strangers, including the marginalized and the oppressed, if I want to extend transformative hospitality, that kind of hospitality that invites someone on a journey from being a stranger to being a guest to becoming a family member, I have to be ready to give up my favorite seat. I have to be willing to be uncomfortable. I have to be open to some significant degree of change. Welcoming the stranger and the other into belonging will always involve being open to change. Because when the stranger joins us at the table, when the stranger becomes one of us, then who we are undergoes transformation. Someone here told me yesterday that when new members covenant with you at Assembly, the congregation responds in part by naming, "Now we're a new community." The newcomer will bring her own unique experiences of the world, her own perspectives on the community, her own passions and gifts and tastes, her own unique mix of foolishness and wisdom. And all of this will be added to all that makes up the complex personality and culture of the community. So, come back with me into Jesus' parable again. The guest that the parable speaks to has agency. They have a choice. They can choose to take a place of honor and significance for themselves, or they can choose to leave a place of honor open for someone else by withdrawing themselves to a relatively low position. Jesus radically even tells them, take the very lowest seat. Sometimes, getting myself out of the way can be the best way that I can recognize another person's gifts and support their taking leadership and ownership in the community. When a relative newcomer or anyone that I might perceive as closer to the margins of the community than I am puts forward an idea, I could put myself forward either by giving voice to my doubts in their proposal, using my power essentially as an insider to shut them down. Or again, I could put myself forward by seizing up their idea as if it were my idea and trying to take control of executing it. Take the way of humility here, giving up the seat of power and honor, would mean that I choose to follow the other person's lead, to support them by modeling a willingness to trust their leadership. One Christmas, my friend Teresa was very passionate about involving children in a worship dance as part of a Christmas Eve service. She took the lead in choreographing, rehearsing, and leading the dance. I'd been given the responsibility to plan that service. Now, in Teresa's cultural mindset, rigid timekeeping is not the highest value, especially in worship. And Teresa didn't always fit in with the dominant culture of the congregation. It was a struggle for me, but I chose to let go for that occasion of my need to control the duration of the worship service. I decided it was more important to allow her the opportunity to use her gifts and lead the dance and share with the community than for me to be in control of the timeline of the service. When we who have privilege to decide where we will seat ourselves choose to make room for a marginalized person, maybe it's a person who's new, maybe it's a young person or a teenager, maybe it's a person who has less education, maybe it's a person from a different cultural background, maybe it's a person who's experienced oppression or disenfranchisement. When we choose to make room for them and to seek a place of humility for ourselves, we are following the example of Jesus. Paul writes, as some of you may be familiar, in Philippians chapter 2, "In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to their own interests, but also to the interests of others." Paul calls us here to imitate Jesus in our common life together. In this way, Jesus did not seize the equality, the divine privilege that was rightfully his as God's son, but instead Jesus adopted the lowly position of slave. And through Jesus' humble obedience to the servant way of God, pouring himself out, surrendering his power, risking himself even to the cost of his own death on a cross, Jesus attains honor from God. So the reign of God is embodied in the one who demonstrates humble, self-giving service. Paradoxically, Jesus is called Lord not because he seized power and control, but because he relinquished power for the sake of love. The kingdom of God is like a banquet table where the one who is greatest volunteers for the lowest seat, giving way to others. The one who is greatest is not the one who seeks to secure their own influence or status. Beloved children of God, where will we sit at the table? Who is the one for whom God calls me to make room, to welcome as an honored family member? May God give us eyes to see strangers and persons on the margins as God's honored guests. My friends, wherever you may be in your own journey, from stranger to guest, to family member, in whatever places you find yourself breaking bread with companions at God's table, may God bless you. And I pray that with God's help, we may all grow into the likeness of Jesus by learning what it means to seek the lowest place as we have fellowship with others whom God has also invited to belong with us at God's table as part of our family. Amen.